So, Theresa May reckons she's now got the people on board that she needs on board, but can she make any progress? Let me speak to Gregory Campbell from the Democratic Unionist Party. Gregory Campbell, good morning.
Good morning, Frank.
Theresa May taking herself back to Brussels after MPs backed that proposal for her to renegotiate her Brexit deal and replace the backstop. What is she planning on replacing the backstop with? And she's basically doing it because you guys have her by the whatevers.
Well, I suppose if you look at the past couple of weeks, I mean, the Prime Minister was in an awful bind in that she was the first Prime Minister in history to put a key piece of her legislative process before the House of Commons and lose by over 200 votes. That has never happened before. So she was in a really awkward place then. Then this week, in the run-up to yesterday, we had a whole plethora. Seven amendments were selected by the Speaker, which were all over the place, going in all sorts of directions. And thankfully, they've all been whittled down now. And we now at least have something that the House of Commons has backed. Because Europe has been saying now for several weeks, well, look, we know what you're against. You've said that you reject that, but what are you in favour of? Well, they now know that we're in favour of dealing with that backstop. So she has to go over to Brussels and say, look, I cannot get the deal that I negotiated with you through the House of Commons. That's not just me saying that. You've seen the figures. I was heavily defeated. Some would argue humiliated in the House of Commons by a landslide of a defeat. I've now been able to adjust that, and the problem is the backstop. That's what the amendment said. That's what was carried. So what can you do in relation to the backstop that will enable me to get it through the House of Commons and you to be content, and we can then move on with an orderly withdrawal from the EU?
So she's prepared to sacrifice the desires of the people of Northern Ireland on the altar of Conservative unity?
No, well, I think it's a complete mistake, Frank, to say that getting a better deal from Europe is to sacrifice the people of Northern Ireland. You know, the backstop arrangement would not have been good for the people of Northern Ireland because it would have divided up trade within the United Kingdom. It would have made things very difficult in terms of the new trade deals that the UK will be able to negotiate, because we couldn't have been on an equal level playing field with the rest of the UK in negotiating with those countries for new trade deals. So we've got to get rid of the backstop or get it dealt with in a legally binding way that emancipates Northern Ireland and allows us as an equal partner within the UK to leave the EU but still to have good relations with it. And as I've said to you in your programme before, Frank, nobody should lose sight of the fact that the EU, even after our departure, we don't know what it will look like. Nobody should imagine that if we could turn back the clock 2 years and not go through all this, that the EU would remain the same as people have assumed it to be. Change is coming within the EU as well as us leaving it.
Yet, Noel, you're flying in the face by saying that of all the advisers from the economy and the business world here in Northern Ireland.
Well, I suppose, you know, I could go through the list, and I'll not. I'll save your listeners the tedium of going through the list of experts 2 years ago who told us, you know, house prices were going to crash, the economy was going to suffer if we voted to leave. Not when we actually left, but they said if we vote to leave, house prices will go down by 18%, we'll lose jobs, the economy will suffer, inflation will go up. All of those things were going to happen within weeks or months of us voting to leave. We voted to leave 2.5 years ago, and it's almost the case that the reverse has happened. Not quite, but almost the reverse. Now, rocky times lie ahead, whether inside the EU or outside of it. What Theresa May has to do is she's got to negotiate a deal with the EU to deal with the backstop so that will leave us in a more advantageous position than we would have been had we allowed the backstop to go through. Now, hopefully the EU, as they normally do, they will go to the wire and then hopefully common sense and rational thinking will prevail.
Just one final question to you, Gregory Campbell, on the back of Sammy Wilson's comments yesterday, because people are complaining about what he said. There was such a serious point being made. It only lasts a few seconds. I'll just remind you of what Sammy chipped in with, and chipped in is certainly the word.
Asda, Marks and Spencer, the Co-op, Waitrose, Cost Cutter, all warning of not being able to have sufficient supplies of shelves lying empty.
Go to the chippy. There's a very serious point being made in Parliament about food shortages looming, and the DUP's attitude is go to the chippy. Was that the right thing to say in Parliament?
Well, I think there was a very serious debate. You're absolutely right. I'm glad you played the full part of the SNP's contribution, which was becoming ludicrous. You know, shelves being empty. This is akin to the planes not flying and pharmacies going empty and stockpiling. This is all scaremongering. This is Project Fear. Sammy intervened in the way that he does. But, you know, that was a very serious debate, which I think was taken beyond seriousness into satire by the SNP, and Sammy was responding in kind. But, you know...
But is Sammy taking it seriously, Gregory? Is Sammy taking it seriously? Considering the fact that a lot of people here are very worried.
Yeah, they are very worried. And I think part of the reason they're very worried is because of this Project Fear. You know, if people keep on hearing when they're looking for holidays that the planes mightn't fly. I mean, this is utter nonsense. The planes will fly. The shelves will be stocked up. There's not going to be food shortages. There's no evidence of this at all. And I think Sammy was, in his own jocular fashion, trying to puncture the pomposity of some of these people who were becoming ludicrous. You know, and it does. Sometimes people say things in the heat of debate, and I say them, and others say them. It's to puncture some of those things that are being said. But let's not lose sight of the overall issue. Theresa May's now got a mandate from the House of Commons. She needs to go to Brussels. She needs to come back with the backstop being dealt with, and we need to have an orderly removal of the UK in its entirety out of the EU, and then hopefully we'll get prosperity as we go beyond the boundaries of the EU, but still maintain a good working relationship with them, and life will still go on, and the border will still be open. There'll be no need for people to go down and get into some sort of drama queens at the border trying to pretend that there's going to be all these devices on the border. There's not, and most people know that there's not, and even if they were, we could all get round them by going 100 yards up the road and using a side road. So these things that they tell us are going to happen, the sky's going to fall in, it's not. Life will go on.
Gregory Campbell's analysis. Thank you very much indeed, Gregory Campbell. It'll be interesting to see what Europe has to say about that analysis. And I'll put it to Noel McAdam, who's a political commentator of long standing. Noel, good morning.
Good morning, Frank.
Noel, interesting listening to Gregory Campbell. Of course, we could have written the script for him, but the DUP are buoyant this morning because they are beginning now to get their way. Will Europe see it like that?
Well, there's no doubt, indeed, the DUP is cock-a-hoop at the moment, and at the same time as saying that, I just wonder, having listened to Gregory there and some of the comments last night from Gavin Robinson and so on, whether they're beginning to soften their own language, because they just didn't want the backstop to be dealt with. They wanted it to be dropped altogether, and now they seem to be preparing the ground for perhaps being prepared to settle for something less than that. The problem is that no one knows what the alternative arrangements might or could be, including the DUP, although they may have some sort of insight into Theresa May's thinking, having had their private dinners and chaggers and so on. But from the EU's point of view, Theresa May has attempted to knock the ball into the EU court last night, and I think it's quite likely that in the next few days anyway, we'll see the EU knock it back into her court by asking her to spell out what the alternative arrangements could actually be.
The DUP will, of course, say that the alternative arrangements will reflect the getting rid of the backstop.
Yes, well, whether it's going to be totally getting rid of it or finding some way in which it could be changed enough to get the majority of MPs to back whatever the alternative would be in Parliament is something, again, we'll have to just wait and see, because apart from the direction that Theresa May has chosen to go in now, which, as Gregory said, is something that is a gamble, but she was facing the House of Commons that was completely paralysed and a government like a rabbit caught in the headlights. She now has actually, you know, bought some time, created a little potential wriggle room, on this issue. At the same time, on the other side, she's gone, and she's now, working with the hard Brexiteers. But the impact of yesterday also saw Jeremy Corbyn for the first time saying he is prepared to meet the Prime Minister. So you will see, when she comes back in a fortnight with whatever the outcome of all this is, there will have been potential openings now on the other side of things, among, the more Remain side of the camp.
Colm Eastwood, speaking this morning, saying that he sees this as the ripping up of the Good Friday Agreement, a betrayal of the people of Northern Ireland by the Conservatives, by Theresa May, when she said she would be there for the people of Northern Ireland within this. The hard border is a realistic possibility. Gregory Campbell says the likes of that is all scaremongering, and the drama at the border last week is something that is nothing other than drama. But talk to people who live on the border, who live near the border, who crisscross the border. They are seriously worried. Gregory Campbell had a throwaway line at the end of my conversation with him. Even if there is something, just go a few hundred yards down the road and take a side road. You know, that's hardly instilling confidence in people who have free movement north and south at this moment in time.
Well, I think you put your finger on it exactly, because it's not so much the Good Friday Agreement for ordinary people or even the backstop. It's the uncertainty that they've been dealing with for the past 2.5 years, and now they're hearing this morning that there's talk about a longer transition period. And what they really need to know, not just business, but ordinary people going about their daily lives, is what is actually going to happen and what the impact of all of this is. And Gregory Campbell also, in your interview earlier on, admitted no one quite knows what Brexit's going to look like. And I always think to myself that as soon as you think in your head you know what's going on with Brexit, it's time to take another look at it again.
That's a very, very good point. Noel, thanks for speaking to us this morning. Thank you. Noel McAdam, journalist, political commentator. Thank you, Noel, for your input. Your opinions are welcome. What do you think? Or are you beginning to get so frustrated that you've gone, found some sand and buried your head in it? 0289 0333 105. If you're just joining us, good morning.